We've had two Bible readings tonight, so I'll just read the text verse that we're going to be thinking about tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 30, and the text verse is verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. A challenge is something I'm sure that we're all pretty familiar with. One of the dictionaries gives a definition of that and says a challenge is to summon someone or some people to do something, to make demands upon a person or persons, to stimulate them to do something over and above the usual. Now, some are of the temperament that they're up for this. There are people, they love a really good challenge. They like to take on something. It's in their makeup to be confronted with a demand, a stimulus, to do something out of the ordinary routine. But then there are other people, and they're the opposite. They're more laid back. They don't like demands made upon them. They don't like to move out of what has been described the comfort zone. They don't want to be disturbed in the even tenor of their lives. But like it or not, ladies and gentlemen, we all will encounter challenges. Those challenges can come to us in the form of adverse circumstances. It may be health. Health takes a sudden change for the worse, goes into decline. We haven't been used to it. It's a challenge for us to cope with that kind of situation. Or take the economic downturn that we hear so much about on the news every day, and some people are feeling the effects of it. That's a challenge. How to cope with this new situation that we never envisaged happening. In the Bible, there are several challenges given to people in order to stimulate them, makes demands on them. For instance, whenever Elijah was on Mount Carmel confronting the false prophets and priests of Baal, he cried out to them, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, serve him, or of Baal, serve him." What a challenge. And the Lord Jesus Christ said on one occasion, he said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Well, we have a challenge tonight that all of us have got to face. And it's found in this particular verse that I read to you from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. It's a challenge with regard to making a choice. And we are urged in this challenge to choose life. We have that in the last line but one in the text, Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Now let's think together for the remainder of our service of this challenge to choose life, to make the right choice, to become a Christian. And let's notice it here in regard to this passage. I want you to notice, first of all, the setting of the challenge. It's always good to get the background. Now, the setting concerns two matters. It concerns the place, and it concerns the period. And we could add a third. It concerns the person. But let's take, first of all, the place. The place was nearby the River Jordan. The place was nearby the River Jordan on the eastern side of that river, not far away from the land of promise and prosperity that God had covenanted to give his people. Near to Canaan, the land of blessing. The period. Well, the period is very special. It has come at the end of a 40-year period of wilderness wanderings. And if you want to go further back than that, a period of about 400 years whenever the Israelites were serfs, were slaves in the land of Egypt. But to take the nearer period, the great Exodus had taken place, and the children of Israel were on a journey from Egypt to Canaan that would have taken maybe 2 or 3 weeks. But because of their sin, because of their disbelief and unbelief of God, they were consigned to wander, to sojourn in this waste, howling wilderness. But at any rate, they are leaving one era behind them and entering into another. And then, of course, there is the person. The person issuing this challenge on behalf of the Lord is Moses, who had been their leader and their friend for 40 years and had safely led them and taught them the Word of God and taught them God's way for 40 years throughout that wilderness sojourn. And now he's not far from crossing the spiritual Jordan, the river of death. In a very short time, he would be entering into that great promised land of heaven. Now, all of this has relevance for us tonight, because as far as we are concerned, we are in a similar situation, not an identical situation, but similar. We are leaving behind this year. We are in a certain place, the meeting house, God's house. And there is a challenge being presented by someone on behalf of the Lord, the preacher. And my dear friend, this is also special to you and me, the setting of this great challenge to choose life. The end of an era of this year, soon to enter into another, and the Word of God coming from us at this particular time. But notice in the second place, not only the setting of this challenge, but the substance of it. Let's read the text again. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. I want you to notice two matters concerning the substance. First of all, there are the pleasing prospects. Very good to notice that in the challenge. The pleasing prospects. The first one of these prospects is life. Now, Moses is talking here about physical life mainly, and the enjoyment that goes with it whenever God is ordering it and central to it, and we're living in His will. He promises life. Now, for Israel, long life was a blessing. If you read the book of Deuteronomy particularly, you learn how you can abbreviate your life, how you can have what we call in human parlance an untimely death. But if we obey God, if we keep His laws and live right, God says, generally speaking, you'll have long life. What a blessing that would have been for the children of Israel. And of course, involved in this would be spiritual life, but we must remember that these were God's covenant people by and large. Now, whenever death comes, the one who has this spiritual life, he will live on and never die. The Lord Jesus Christ said once, "He that liveth and believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, he will live. He'll never die." It's a great thing to have spiritual life. We have no guarantee in this age that we will have long life. No guarantee whatsoever. We can live our lives right. We can be as holy as David Brainard, Robert Murray McShane, and Henry Martin, and a host of other young men and women who died before they reached their prime. But that's no guarantee that we're going to live long. But we can have eternal life. And so for you tonight, my dear friend, what a prospect. God is about to challenge you, and it concerns life, spiritual life, eternal life, the salvation of your soul. That's the challenge. That's the issue that lies before us in this meeting. And this is part of the substance of it. But notice, there's something else here. There's not only life, there is blessing. Notice how Moses puts it in verse 19, "I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing." Oh, the blessing. If you read the account of Israel, you learn that blessing came to Israel very often in a material form. For instance, in Proverbs chapter 3, we have these words, "Honor the Lord with the with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. That was material blessing. If you read the book of Deuteronomy, particularly chapter 11, you'll find it mentioned again. It occurs so often. Material blessing meant these blessings that God would give and make a man or a woman prosperous. But again, in this age in which we live, we don't have any guarantee that we will have material blessings. We do have the guarantee that we'll have enough, because the Lord Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." That's it. There is no guarantee of anything over and above that. God may grant these things, and he has on many occasions. But my dear friend, those are not the main things. The main thing is, in addition to spiritual life, to have the forgiveness of sins, to have peace with God and the peace of God, to have the companionship of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to know that whenever we die, there's a mansion awaiting us in the glory in endless delight. These are the pleasing prospects and the challenge. And if you will turn from your sin tonight, my dear hearer, and if you will trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you will experience the salvation of your soul, life everlasting, the forgiveness of sins, peace with God, the constant companionship of Christ, and at the end of life's journey, he'll bring you into that promised land where all tears will cease to be, and where pain and sorrow and suffering and death will be no more. But there's another part of the substance of this challenge. Not only the pleasing prospects, but notice the perilous possibilities. Verse 19 again. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. So if we have the life and the blessing on the one hand, on the other hand, we have the death and the curse. This is what God is saying. Now, again, for Israel, the death largely here was physical. I've already alluded to that. The consequences of not living right, disobeying God. And if you're familiar with the history of the children of Israel, from they come out of Egypt in Exodus chapter 12, 13, 14, right up to the end of the book of Deuteronomy, covering that 40-year period, you'll find that on several occasions, God had to intervene and judge thousands of them with death. We don't have the time to turn to it, but for your own reference, read Numbers chapter 11, read chapter 14, and read chapter 16, just for some of those instances in the book of Numbers. Now, for us, the consequences, the perilous consequences for us of wrong living, especially in rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, will be what's called the second death. In Revelation chapter 20, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death, the writer writes. Eternal separation from God, hell, damnation, judgment, torment, suffering that will never end. And then again, there's another part of this terrible possibility, not only death, but the cursing. That's what God says here. Not the curse that man in his rage heaps and confers on his fellow man, but God's curse, which is infinitely worse. Not a charm, not that kind of a curse, but God's righteous judgments. Again, read the Word of God. For instance, in Deuteronomy chapter 11, if I may refer back to that, in verse 28, listen to these words. I'll read verse 26 to 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse, if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way. There it is, black and white. Blessing or cursing. In fact, in Malachi chapter 2, God says to the priests who had turned away from him, he says, I have even cursed you with a curse. Terrible that. And it means, ladies and gentlemen, to be under this terrible curse of God. The Bible tells us, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, and that's found in the New Testament in Galatians chapter 3. God's curse, not an angry man who is ill-disposed toward his fellow man, not that kind of a curse, but God's righteous indignation. Those are the stark alternatives making up the substance of this challenge. Life, blessing, death, or curse. Tonight, you're being urged to choose. And in the words of Moses, let me say to you, choose life. Turn from your sin. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus. Call on Him to be your Savior. The substance of the challenge. The setting of the challenge. Notice very quickly in the third place, the stressing of the challenge. Oh, Moses really presses this home. Let's read it again. Verse 19 of Deuteronomy 30. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Moses is stressing it. He's emphasizing it. Why is he doing this? Well, first of all, because of what's involved in the choices. We've already noticed them. Because as Moses sets it out, he puts a therefore here. He says, because of all of this, choose life. And I appeal to you tonight, my hearer, make the right choice. But here's another reason. Not only because of what's involved in the choices, but also because not only themselves will be affected, but their offspring, their children. Notice again the text. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Ladies and gentlemen, especially if you're a parent, it's incumbent upon you. The pressure is on you. This is being stressed, not only for your own good, but for the good of your offspring. Born now and yet to be born, you have got to make the right decision about the Lord Jesus Christ. You have got to choose Him, because in Him was life. He is life. He is the resurrection and the life. And in choosing life, you're choosing Christ. And in choosing Christ, you are choosing life. I urge you. I plead with you. I stress it. I press it. I emphasize it. Choose Christ. Turn from your sin. Trust Him as your personal Savior for your own good and for the good of your offspring. But there's one other thing I want you to notice, and with this we'll close. What a challenge we're looking at tonight to make the right choice. We've seen the setting of it. We have seen the substance of it. We have seen the stressing of it. Notice the solemnity of it. Verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. That's the solemnity. Because as Moses is standing in those plains near to Jordan, not too far away from Jordan in the promised land, and soon about to hand over the charge to Joshua, in fact to be taken right out of the scene, God taking his life away and burying him where no one even to this very day knows where he's interred. He says, I'm telling you that heaven's witnessing against you and earth is witnessing against you, that I have set this challenge before you. Now, notice two things about this solemn presentation of this challenge. First of all, heaven. What does he mean? Is it just a nice oratorical word, a nice oratorical speech he's referring to here? No, he's in earnest. He's calling heaven. The angels are in heaven.
And they know what's going on earth as much as God wants them to know. And the angels know. In fact, the Bible tells us that whenever a person gets saved, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one that comes home. So the angels are witnesses against us that we have heard the challenge. And even this very night, they're a witness of what's taking place here. And then the Godhead is looking on. The Holy Spirit will bear witness. Yes, I have striven with men and women over the years. God says, I have provided salvation at infinite cost. And the Lord Jesus says, I have come and stood beside, sat beside people in the gospel meeting. I have held out my hands to the disobedient and again saying people. And those in heaven tonight who used to sit with us in this piece of ground for many, many years, they have loved the Lord, they got saved, they're home in the glory. They will bear witness against you. Yes, they will say, I was there when the gospel was preached and they made no response. But Moses then says, not only heaven, but earth will record against you. Young people, think of your parents who long to see you saved, but you're not saved yet. They will have to say of that awful day of judgment, if you die unsaved, I was a witness. I knew that God had spoken to you, but you hardened your heart. You said no. Spouses will have to bear witness against their spouses, husband against wife, wife against husband. If there's a situation in a home where one of the two is not saved, the one will have to say, yes, earth is bearing witness, because many a time I've tried to get you out to the gospel meeting, I've prayed for you, I've witnessed to you. Then again, ministers of the gospel have prayed for their people, have pleaded with the people upon whom the Lord conferred the pastoral charge. But the day will come, if you miss the challenge and fail to respond to it, they'll shake their head sadly and say, you were warned time after time after time. Therefore, my dearly beloved friend, I say to you tonight, choose life. Accept the challenge. And notice what Moses says in verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day, right now. And this day that we are in has almost come to an end. And I'm pressing you tonight to choose life, to trust Christ. Right now, don't let another day go by. But while you have the opportunity, while the Spirit is striving with you tonight, while the Lord Jesus is revealing Himself to you in all His love and in all His blood and suffering of His atonement, and in His death and resurrection, and His ascension to heaven, that He's the risen, living Savior, I urge you, exhort you and plead with you. Choose life. Trust Him. Turn from your sin. The Bible says, if you do, He'll save you and give you everlasting life. It's late. Very late. Maybe later than what you think. You don't have much time.